This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing you back an old guest. He was back on the show back in August of 2016. We're talking no other than U308 Corp. They trade on the OTCQX under the ticker symbol UWEFF. And with us today, we're lucky to have him, is the CEO of that company, Dr. Richard Spencer. Dr. Spencer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
You know, you guys are a Canadian exploration company. You focus on the discovery and development of uranium deposits that have potential low-cost producers, especially in South Africa. What is your lead deposit there in the Laguna Salada? Contains vanadium and uranium. What's the outlook for that particular deposit?
Well, just a correction there. It's in South America, not South Africa. Argentina, in fact. And it's an exciting deposit because it has two commodities that are key to the clean energy space. The one is uranium for the nuclear industry, and the second is vanadium, which is primarily used actually in the steel industry, adding just 2 pounds of vanadium to steel doubles its strength, and it's the demand is increasing because China has introduced much more stringent standards for their rebar for construction and to make the buildings more earthquake resistant and that kind of thing. So the traditional use for vanadium is in the steel industry. Well over 90% of it is used in the steel industry, and that is growing very nicely at about 3% per annum. But the big kicker in the vanadium space is its use in vanadium redox batteries. Obviously the lithium-ion batteries are the batteries that are most sort of sexy out there. They're used in everything, and of course Tesla and many of the other car manufacturers are using principally lithium-ion batteries for the electrification of their vehicle fleets. However, the sweet spot for the vanadium-based battery is industrial energy storage. The vanadium redox batteries are basically as big as you want them to be. They're incredibly simple. The one thing is that they can't be miniaturized. They're never going to be laptop batteries or phone batteries or anything like that. But for industrial storage, and industrial scale storage is key when one's talking about the introduction of more renewables into the grid and local grid development, the intermittent power that's coming from wind and solar energy. One needs a place to be able to store that energy so that it can be used at night. And the vanadium redox batteries have that capacity. In fact, there's the biggest battery in the world is being built in China at the moment, in Dalian, and it is an 800 megawatt hour battery. In other words, that one battery, which takes up almost a sort of city block, it's about the size of 8 football fields, that one battery would power about 100,000 North American homes all night. These are huge batteries. If one were to achieve that same power storage via lithium-ion batteries, it's simply not feasible to do it. There would be heating issues and all sorts of things. One of the other great advantages of the vanadium redox battery is that the vanadium doesn't deteriorate over time. You know, you'll know from your phone or computer battery that lithium-ion battery deteriorates. It's got a life of 5, 6, 7 years. And during that time, its capacity falls off. With a lithium with a vanadium redox battery, that is not the case. They're guaranteed for about 20 years. And in fact, they've been tested out to about 40 years of complete charge and discharge. But at the end of the day, when the housing of that battery needs to be replaced or whatever, that fluid, that vanadium fluid, just gets pumped out into another tank, into another battery, and off you go. So, you know, there's a big cost benefit from that. So, you know, I've spent most of my time talking about vanadium up till now because it's so exciting, and you know, the green energy space is a space that's developing incredibly quickly. But the one fundamental problem with it is energy storage and the cost of that storage, and these vanadium redox batteries are a very elegant solution to that. On the uranium side, so I'm very positive about the vanadium market. The vanadium price has tripled over the last couple of years, and I think it's on a very nicely sustainable rise in a bull market. Uranium could not have been different. It's been on a 7-year decline post Fukushima. And you know, as tragic as Fukushima was, the industry has learnt a lot from that situation, and the power stations have been and reactors have been upgraded to withstand tsunamis and earthquakes and those that couldn't have been have been shut down. But there's been a lot of excess uranium sort of flooding the market, and the uranium price has gradually fallen from just under $140 per pound to $18 per pound. And now it's started to rise off that base that's at about $23, $24 a pound at the moment. But I think that we've seen a fundamental change in the uranium market. I think we're seeing the start of the next bull market. We've got the biggest producers in the world, both a Canadian company, Cameco, and Kazakhstan, cutting back production very, very dramatically. And when you've got one of the biggest uranium producers in the world going out to the market and saying, look, we can't produce at the current spot price. We would be losing money if we sold at that price. So what we're going to do to fulfill our contracts is stop mining, keep our resources and our reserves in place for better days, and we're going to go on to the spot market and actually buy uranium on the spot market to sell at a higher price into our contracts. If you've got the major producers doing that, that signals the end of the bear market. And between Kazakhstan and Cameco, they have made a major reduction in production. They've taken about 15% of world supply offline. And they did that in November, December 2017. And I think it's taken until around about now for the market to recognize how important that production cut was. And we're now starting to see the kind of things that one sees at the start of a bull market. Not only is the uranium price starting to move up, but there's an IPO of a new fund in the UK that is raising about $150 million to buy physical uranium because they believe that we're at the bottom of the cycle, and you know, by buying and holding that uranium, they will make an enormous return for their shareholders. So that's creating extra demand that wasn't there a couple of weeks ago, plus the supply cuts by the big producers. The fundamentals of the uranium space have finally, after a disastrous 7-year bear market, I think we're starting to see the price react and the start of the next bull market in uranium. So in the case of Laguna Salada, we've got these two incredibly exciting commodities that would be produced together. They occur in the same mineral there, and so Laguna Salada would produce principally uranium, but byproduct vanadium as well.
You know, your stock has been flat over the last couple of months and everything. What do the investors have to look forward to, say, the next 6 months to a year?
Last year at this time, we made a fundamental change in the company. We were able to attract a new director by the name of David Marsh to the board. And David is quite a unique individual because he was the chief metallurgist at Paladin Energy. He built and operated two new uranium plants in third world countries. Both of them were in southern Africa. And this is a guy that has been through not only the design process of those plants, but actually putting them into production and into operation. And he is an absolutely key person to U308 going forward, because having joined the company, he's got this unique expertise that has enabled him to take our economic studies that were done by an external consulting group and say, look, you know, theoretically these things are fine, but in fact, in practice, my experience is that we should be doing this in a much simpler way. So Dave Marsh has designed a whole bunch of tweaks to the metallurgical process that should both cut the capex of the project, the upfront cost, and allow us to produce at a lower price. And in order to prove that those slight changes to or tweaks to the system that he's proposing to confirm that they work and to confirm the extent to which they work, he's designed a bunch of metallurgical test work to test these tweaks with one of the top labs in Australia. And that sample, which is about a ton of gravel, is leaving for Australia over the weekend. And so over the next sort of 6 months or so, starting in about a month's time, we will be putting out the results of that test work. And each result is going to have some implication on either the capital cost of the project or its actual operating cost, the cost at which we can produce the uranium. So we are going to have a lot of news in the second half of the year, and it's very significant news as well.
Outstanding. You know, let's talk about your Columbia project, the Berlin deposit. What are your plans there? Haven't heard a lot about that.
Well, it's effectively been mothballed because, you know, during this dire bear market that we've just been through, there wasn't the cash to move both projects ahead. We had to prioritize the one that was simpler, and Laguna Salada is simple because it's a gravel lying at surface that just needs to be scooped up with road-moving equipment and processed very easily. The Berlin project in Colombia is a little bit more complicated in terms of processing. However, it is an incredibly exciting project. In fact, it's the most exciting project in our portfolio because it has, in one rock, it has about a third of the value is uranium, about a third is phosphate, and then the other third is nickel and vanadium again. We'll come back to vanadium. And rare earths. And, you know, the Berlin project is as close to the perfect clean energy project as you can get, because it's got the uranium on the one side. Phosphate, we always thought about it in terms of agricultural fertilizer, but it is a key component to batteries. It's one of the components that they put into the lithium ion batteries to stop them from catching a light. And it's also a key component in the vanadium redox batteries that we were talking about earlier. So Phosphate is becoming an electric or a component to the sort of electric metals or the battery metals. And alongside that, we've got nickel, which is key to the lithium-ion batteries. We've got vanadium, which is used in some lithium-ion batteries, but mainly in the vanadium redox battery. And then the rare earths, which are used to make the electric motors and generators in wind turbines and that kind of thing, that much more efficient. And, you know, so it's an incredibly interesting project. The next thing to be done on that project is about $1 million worth of test work, just to prove that once we dissolve the rock, basically, all of those commodities are in solution. They're in a liquid, a little bit like a soup.
Right.
And the way the economic study was done was using quite old technology to deal with each one of those metals or elements at a time. And, you know, one of the huge changes that there's been in the mineral industry over the last 2 or 3 years is a recognition that membranes can be used to separate the different metals. Basically, it's the same process that we use to purify water, these reverse osmosis plants where the dirty water is pressurized through an extremely fine mesh, and you get pure water on the other side, and the gunk left on the backside of that very fine mesh. This is using exactly the same principle, but basically you have a whole bunch of meshes in there. And if you're looking to purify the phosphate, capture the phosphate from the rest of the metals, for example, you would just set up a membrane that has apertures slightly wider than the phosphate molecule upstream and downstream slightly smaller than the phosphate molecule, and then you just pass that fluid through those sets of membranes, and the pair of membranes related to the phosphate would allow the collection of the phosphate, and the next one would collect the uranium or whatever. So you would basically have a very simple room-sized, sort of schoolroom-sized plant that consists of these columns with these membranes in them, and, you know, the water would just pass through those membranes, and then you end up collecting the concentrated uranium, vanadium, nickel, phosphate,
absolutely,
rare earth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dr. Spencer, we're running out of time. So in closing here, you know, if I'm listening to this interview, why should I go out and buy your stock at 28 cents? Your market cap is a little bit under $6 million.
Because it's the bottom of the uranium market. We're starting to see life. We're starting to see the start of a bull market in uranium, and the battery metals, which are a key component of our portfolio, are only going to grow. The demand for them is going to grow. So this is a unique company that straddles both uranium and the battery commodities. So it's upside from here, and we've got a very, very clear path as to how to execute in driving the project forward.
I want to thank you for coming on my show today. You've been listening to Dr. Richard Spencer, CEO of U308 Corp. They trade on the OTCQX under the ticker symbol UWEFF. Take a look at their stock. I think it's undervalued here at 28 cents. Dr. Spencer, thank you for your time. It's always a great time to have you on my show.
Thanks very much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or this station.